The personal weapon used by Lord Krishna, the disc, is called the Hari Chakra, the disc of Hari. This chakra is the wheel of time. It expands from the beginning of the atoms up to the time of Brahma's death, and it controls all activities. It is always revolving and spinning the lives of living entities from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant blade of grass. Thus, one changes from infancy to childhood to youth and maturity, and thus one approaches the end of life. It is impossible to check this wheel of time. This wheel is very exacting because it is the personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the Krishna soul, during the approach of death, wants to worship someone who can save him from imminent danger. It does not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose weapon is the indefatigable time factor. The conditioned soul instead takes shelter of a man-made god described in unauthorized scriptures. Such gods are like buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. Vedic scriptures do not refer to them. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion, and neither vultures, buzzards, crows, nor herons can save one from such an attack. One who takes shelter of unauthorized man-made gods cannot be saved from the clutches of death. Reported and stated, Harim Vina Mriptuna Taranti, no one can save himself from the cruel hands of death without being favored by Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Mame Vaye Prapadya Te Mayam Eta Taranti Te, whoever fully surrenders unto Krishna can be saved from the cruel hands of material nature. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes wants to take shelter of demigod, man-made god, pseudo-incarnation, or Bhagavad-Swami, or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles, and all this has become very popular in the age of Kali. There are many Pachandis who, without reference to the Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations. And foolish people follow them. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, has left behind him Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not referring to these authorized scriptures, Rasa takes shelter of man-made scriptures and try to compete with Lord Krishna. That is the great difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form. But the Pachandis and atheists, who are cheaters, are so numerous that sometimes we become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters, and bluffers, who were described here as crows, vultures, buzzards, and herons. The pseudo Swamis, yogis, and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of God are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated, not because they do not know the real path to spiritual advancement, and whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of God according to the Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among sudras who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of monkeys. By fulfilling the purpose of evolution from the aquatic to animal platform, a living entity eventually reaches the human platform. Three modes of material nature are always working in the evolutionary process. Those who come to the human form through the quality of sattva-gun for cows in their last animal incarnation. Those who come to the human form through the quality of rajasic reliance in their last incarnation. And those who come to human form through the quality of tamo-gun were monkeys in their last animal incarnation. In this age, those who come through the monkey species are considered by modern anthropologists like Darwin to be descendants of monkeys. We receive information here that those who are simply interested in sex are actually no better than monkeys. Monkeys are very expert in sexual enjoyment. Sometimes sex plants are taken from monkeys and placed in human bodies so that humans can enjoy sex in old age. In this way, modern civilization has advanced. Many monkeys in India were caught and sent to Europe so their sex plants could serve for replacement of those of all people. Those who actually descend from the monkeys are interested expanding the aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are also certain ceremonies especially meant for sexual improvement, promotion of higher planetary systems where the demigods are enjoying sex. Demigods are also very much inclined towards sex because that is the principle of material enjoyment. First of all, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis, and incarnations when he approaches them to be relieved of material miseries. When the conditioned soul is not satisfied with him, he comes to devotees and pure Brahmins who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. Thus he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. In the Krishna consciousness movement, these monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulated principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. This is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. In this verse, it is therefore clearly stated, yata vanara jate. So here Judd Broad speaks of the wheel of time, or the chakra. Now the chakra is the weapon of the Supreme Lord, but it is also takes the form of a zodiac, which is a chakra, a circle of zodiac signs with the planets moving in them, which represent the passage of time. So the chakra of the Lord is also the force of time, which results in death. And of course, in that chakra or zodiac, we have the planets moving, which indicate the karma of the individuals over a period of time. So the chakra represents not only the weapon of the Lord that kills demons, but also the force of time, death, etc. So the whole material world is under the influence of time. Time is a very subtle aspect of Maya, material Maya, which is very difficult to conceive of. Very, very subtle, but it pervades everything. So therefore, all of the living entities, from the most primitive species all the way up to the most advanced species, that is Brahma, are all subject to this influence of time. And that time leads to old age, death, etc. So everyone in the material world is subject to this chakra of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the weapon, the chakra weapon, acts as the controller of the material world, and ultimately all people are die because of this influence. So the influence of time is everywhere in the material world and no one can stop it, except the Supreme Lord, because he's in control of the chakra. So we know he can extend his chakra and kill demons, and he can withdraw it back to himself. So what this means is that if you want to escape from death, we have to surrender to the Supreme Lord. There's no other possibility of escaping from this influence of time. So unfortunately, people do not surrender unto the Supreme Lord, even though they don't like time and they don't like death. So they're afraid of death, so they surrender to somebody else. So these are what are called the Pashandis, people who may worship Devatas, etc., consider other objects the Supreme Lord. And these people are compared to the different animals like vultures, buzzards, crows, and herons. So they actually can't do anything for you. They cannot prevent death. So the only work one person can prevent death is the Supreme Lord. And of course there is a pun on the word Hari, Hari Chakra. Hari means the Supreme Lord, also means a lion. So the Lord is like the lion, and the false prophets are like the buzzards and the vultures, etc. So the lion is able to conquer everybody and conquer death, but the birds can't do so, the buzzards and the vultures cannot do so. Nevertheless, people in foolishness surrender to these false prophets and gurus and guides, etc., in hope that they can prevent that death. So this is of course hopeless, but nevertheless, because of ignorance, they do this. So generally, of course, the people surrender because actually they think that they can escape death by material assets. So if they get more material things, they think, yes, then the problem is solved. So they approach spiritual life to get material things, and when they get the material things, then they become very happy again, and that solves their problem. So Jagbarat here is, in this analogy, is negating this whole process of finding happiness in the material world. I think it is false. It's like wandering in the forest and not finding any happiness. So even if you get that happiness, it is useless. So within this analogy, he has the confused hunter taking shelter of these different useless birds who cannot give any guidance at all for him and solve his problem. So actually the solution was already stated at the beginning of this chapter. One has to surrender to the authorized devotees of the Lord in order to get out of this wheel of time, this chakra. As we know, the process of bhakti, even in its beginning stages, destroys klesha, destroys karma, destroys desires, destroys ahankara. The very root of our material existence is destroyed by the process of bhakti. And if we don't surrender to the Supreme Lord, then we don't get this effect. We may interrupt or delay the problems or the pains of old age to some degree, but we can never prevent time from passing. And as long as we're in the material world, time will go on, even for Brahma. So the only solution is to get out of the material world completely, where time has no effect. If we stay in the material world with material bodies, then time will affect us. So therefore, any attempt in karma yoga or any other process doesn't work. So we we have to get out of the material world. So of course, if we get liberation, mukti, that is one way of doing it, but difficult. And the other process is the process of bhakti, which is the recommended process here by Jan Bharat. So, therefore we have to do that. Surrender to the Lord and His devotees. Even if the people are cheated, still, when they understand that it is false, somehow or other, it's very difficult for them to approach the devotees and surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And even if they do, they find it very difficult. And therefore, if they fall from that position again and go back into some useless activity. So, even if one gets frustrated in the material world due to being cheated by these pretenders or whatever, still, it is very difficult for this person to advance and actually accept a bona fide person. So one has to get great mercy in order to follow the process of bhakti. So that's why it is said that after many lives of agyata sukriti, the person finally has strong enough faith that he will actually surrender to the process of bhakti and stick to it. If he's not strong enough, then again he'll fall back into this cheating syndrome of the material world. So the temptation of the material world is very, very strong for the jivas here. Birth after birth, they are conditioned to different types of enjoyment. And to get rid of those impressions and those desires is very, very difficult. So that is why Krishna says, yes, you cannot get out of the material world. It is durakya, very difficult to surpass. So the means, of course, is the process of bhakti. If you surrender on the means, then you can cross over this ocean or difficult barrier. Otherwise, difficult. But even to take for the process of bhakti, is a little difficult, as is mentioned here. The people again fall back. Of course, they apply to other bona fide processes like jnana and yoga, it becomes more difficult because they're more likely to fall in that position. If they take the process of bhakti, it is not so difficult, so there's less chances of them falling away from the process. But again, if their faith is not strong enough, that's possible they can also leave. So it is very rare, therefore, that one actually takes the process of bhakti. After many births, only one gets strong enough to practice properly and then stick to the process. So therefore, what to speak of these other processes? If they Gyan yoga or Vedic processes, they may try to follow them, but it's very, very difficult, especially in this age of Kali. So the Supreme Lord has made it easier for us because He's present the Yuga Dharma, so that bhakti becomes easy for us in Kali Yuga. So that is the form of Nama Sankirtan. This makes it much easier for the people in general to practice bhakti. So Yuga Dharma means that process which is applicable for the majority of people in Kali Yuga. And the majority of people in Kali Yuga are very fallen. And therefore, the process of bhakti is very apt in the form of Nam Sankirtan for these people. So though even bhakti is difficult, if people take to the Nam Sankirtan process, then it becomes much easier. And it's possible for that they can advance by following this process. So then it's not so difficult to get deliverance because of this process of Nama Sankirtan.
And
yeah. in the material world, we have the influence of time, and we have inauspicious and auspicious times. So the Jyotish is part of the Vedas, which deals with choosing auspicious times to do certain ceremonies, etc. This, of course, is mainly the Karma Kanda thing. So obviously, in Karma Kanda, you're dealing with Papa and Punya and good time, bad time, etc. So that's very apt. As far as devotional service, of course, is concerned, we actually transcend through the process of bhakti, so it doesn't matter good time, bad time, etc. in that sense, for performing devotional activities particularly, it doesn't really matter. In that, there is a shadow of our pattern of karma remaining even for the devotees. It looks like karma, that's under the Lord. Still, they can take advantage of auspicious, inauspicious times, etc. In order to get better results from their activities. I'm not speaking of devotional activities, direct devotional activities, but other activities they do in the world, like marriages, etc. So therefore, there are practical measures one can take in terms of that, too. They get better results from those activities. So only for that purpose. But that ultimately, it's only a shadow. But some people are also affected by the shadow of karma, so they're far better to do something which is, gives good results than bad results.
How do you see that the devotees are affected and they're trying to manage their mental activities? Because if there are less of bad activities, bad results, and more of good results, probably they can focus more on
Well, it depends on the person. They got more good papunyas, then they become attached to material results and forget about bhakti again. So that's also there. So there's pluses and minuses with papa and punya for devotees, as far as devotees are concerned. Both ultimately become unfavorable because they can lead to material attachments or material revulsions.
This is regarding the material activity. If we take the case of the temple and we look at Vastu Shastra for the temple, is it Vastu is related to the material aspect? Because anyways, Bhakti is independent of whatever the size of the building or whatever things are placed. But I mean, Bhakti is beyond the modes. And Vastu Shas can only manipulate material elements.
Yeah. Well, it is just like Varna Ashram in general. Varna Ashram also is material. In devotional service, to some degree, we utilize the principles. That is as much as favorable for bhakti, useful for bhakti, because we're living in the material world. So we live in a society, we have a family. So therefore, we follow the rules for family life according to Varna Ashram rather than non-Varna Ashram. Because it's favorable. It helps us control the senses, etc. So similarly for Vastu Shastra and other things, the same principles goes. As long as it's favorable, if it is, you know, to a certain degree, we can follow. But at the same time, we may not follow all the rules and regulations because we're not so particularly attached to them. So some guidance is there. We use it as much as possible, but we're not fanatical also.
So my opinion is that anyway, we have to construct. So better use those principles.
That's all. Yeah. Rather than use Western principles, which are completely opposite, or there's no principles in one sense in Western architecture. What looks good to you is good, that's all. So they don't have any principles at all.
So the construction of the temple also, the shastras use certain guidance. Just like the bhakti also, it gives some guidance. Bhakti means that it doesn't mean that you can do it with freelance. So the shastras basically give certain guidance. But
Yeah. Thank you. I don't know the reason, right? After doing the PMI, there's a few are there. But for that you have to read first. You have to make it very easy.
How to object to this learning is not
So the instructions you are giving them properly. Who
is from the script.
Actually, I will be going from Chennai. I will not be staying in Bangalore. Bangalore is not an easy place.
Thank you. Somebody kept it there.
St. Joseph's College.
Yeah.
देखती हूँ ना, Bangalore it is available. Here no, no. Only food.
What is the food menu?
Every day they cook. Every day they cook different. I don't know.
Different.
It will be rice.
Make how it. Puri make how it. मतलब मिलेगा रोट चपाती.
Paper on the chair. Hare Krishna.
எப்படி நீ பார்த்த?
சரி சரி சரி.